And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is taking charge. Each of my guests is discussing how to take charge, whether it's in business, our personal life, or our government. My next guest has been a 19th century circuit rider, a Crimean War nurse, an 11th century athlete, and a 20th century mother, all in her past lives. She'll enlighten us about reincarnation from her own experience contained in her book, Are We Our Past Lives? Soul Patterns and in Personalities and Relationships. And if you have a question or if you want to ask a question, call in at 805-639-0008. Marie Gates was born in Port Huron, Michigan, this time around. Marie has spent the past 30 years exploring reincarnation. Hypnotic regression and spiritual healing sessions revealed a number of her past lives. She earned an MA in psychology from Wayne State University. For several years, she taught in colleges and universities. Marie's personal story is included in the preface to her latest books, Are We Our Past Lives? Marie lives with her husband in Southern Michigan, joining us from Southern Michigan. Hi, Marie. How are you today?
Fine.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. You have such a fascinating story, but as you know, I'm a cynic. Your story, however, is remarkable, and it's the cornerstone of what you believe and teach. So let's start there. Briefly tell us your story and how you played detective to uncover one of your past lives.
I was a college instructor at the University of Alabama when I met a student who knew a hypnotist who did past life regression. And at first I was very skeptical about it. I did not believe in it. In fact, I was an agnostic. It was not a comfortable feeling. I felt a fear of death. But right now, after I have found my past lives, I found a lot of peace and I no longer fear death. But how I went about this was I went to the hypnotist. I was uncovered five lives. One was a woman who lived in New Haven, Connecticut in the 1940s, and I gave her name and her husband's name and in the city where they had lived, New Haven. And so when we moved back to Michigan, my husband asked me if I'd like to investigate that past life, and I thought, oh, great, you know, I mean, maybe it's real. And so I went to New Haven, Connecticut. And one of the first things I did was to go to the library where they have the city directory. And so I picked up a directory from the 1940s. And even though I wasn't sure there was a God at that point, I prayed that I would find my past life identity and her husband. So here I picked it up, and there it was. It was Jacob Randall. His name was right in the city directories. Now, if anybody would try to look this up, I'm giving a false name because I want to protect his family. The woman who's my past life daughter is still alive.
All right.
She's going to be 91 years old next month.
91.
Anyway, So it was the Randalls, and my name was also there, and also the address where they had lived. So I took a bus the next day out to the place where they lived in it, and believe it or not, it was a liquor store in the lower level, but above and behind it were apartments where the people lived. And luckily, the man who was buying the building was buying it from the landlord from the 1940s. And so he gave me the name and phone number of this landlord. I called him up, and he gave me the married name of the girl who had grown up there. So I looked through the phone book, and I called a couple of people, a couple of false starts, but I finally did get a hold of her and started talking to my past life daughter. And at first, her mother's life seemed different from what I had given under hypnosis, but because I had studied reincarnation, I know that if a person remembers anything about a past life, it's likely the death scene. And that's especially true if it's either premature or violent.
All right.
So then I asked her about her mother's death. Oh, she died of a bleeding ulcer. She had worked herself into a frenzy because the brother was coming back from California. He had been stationed in the military. This is just after World War II. And so she worked herself so hard that her ulcer ruptured. And her father insisted his wife go to a Catholic hospital because that was his background. And then it jogged my memory. The memory I had had, the first memory I'd ever had before I could even talk, was that I was an old lady dying in a hospital bed, and it was a Catholic hospital because I saw the nuns with their habits, and my daughter was beside me. So I said, "Were you with your mother when she died?" And Amanda said, "Yes, I was. I held her hand. She had come just before work to visit her mother. Her mother died about 6 o'clock in the morning." And I can still remember her in her lawn, wool coat and scarf, because this was New Haven, Connecticut in February. And I was born almost exactly 3 months later. And that's why I think I remember it. And the other reason is this death was premature. The mother was only 53. And she was anticipating her daughter's marriage, which she did get married later in the year, and grandchildren. She missed out on all of that, so it was premature.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why I think I remember it.
My guest is Marie Gates. Marie, how do you know all of this is true, though? How do you piece fit the pieces of the puzzle together to make sure that it's coherent and that you believe it to be true?
Well, it's because of this dream, or it wasn't a dream. My mother said it was a dream. This memory that I had from so long ago that I could not explain in any other way. Nobody else could explain it to me. And then all of a sudden, there it is. You know, this is, to me, the proof that that I was Amanda Randall in the past life.
And how did the daughter take that news when she found out that you were, in fact, the reincarnation of her mother?
She has never said whether she fully believes in it, but we are good friends. We've been friends for over 30 years, and we exchange Christmas cards, and I call her. I did go to visit her one time. I stayed in her apartment. We got along really fine. It was like we were just attuned to each other, and I could feel this love for her that I had, I think, from the past life. I could feel a real affinity for her, and so that was another reason why I believe this. There are also similar things, like her mother was a perfectionist when it came to housekeeping, and I was that way for a while. I think I was born to the mother I was because she was just the opposite of Amanda. She was like one of these women you see that collects things.
A hoarder.
TV shows, the hoarders. That's the way she was. I think I came into that family that I was born into because I had to learn to be more moderate. In other words, balance it out. So for a while, I didn't. After I got married, I had my own home. I was very fussy. But after my mother died, something happened. It was like I wanted to be more like her. It was strange that the lesson was learned after my mother passed on, that now I'm more moderate. I'm not as fussy anymore. So that was the goal. The goal in lives, living one life after another, is to attain balance. And that's one of the ways in which you do come into a family with maybe the opposite characteristics that you're trying to balance.
All right. My guest is Marie Gates, author of the book, Are We Our Past Lives? And now, Marie, something that has always troubled me about reincarnation is purely mathematical. If you believe in evolution, then there were about 30,000 humanoids roaming the plains of Africa way, way back when in our history, our evolution as a species. Today, the world's population is 7 billion souls. So how did we get, in this case, from 30,000 souls to 7 billion souls? Or, if you believe in creationism, the problem's even worse, because how did we get from 2 souls, Adam and Eve, to 7 billion souls where we are today? I mean, it just doesn't make sense mathematically. If you have only 2 or 30,000 people to begin with, that they can then become 7 billion people. Explain that for me.
Okay, so there are various ways of explaining that. One is one from my personal experience that I know about, is that some of these lives overlap. In other words, I led the life of Jacob Gruber, who was the circuit riding Methodist minister in the 1900s, and at the same time, I was living the life of a young man who had left his family in Indiana and went to California for the gold rush, and it was a gold miner. And they were living at the same time period in the 1800s. So that's one example. I was also told by my spiritual healers that I currently have two lives in Canada, one around Niagara Falls and one in the west of Canada. So that means my soul is split.
Well, that...
also, we leave part of our souls on the other side because we need to do things like go to the learning center and help other people. So the souls are split.
All right, so our souls are split.
For some of us.
Souls are split. Now, that concept is a little fascinating to me as well. So myself, or in your case, yourself, you are not your whole self. You're just part of who you are. And then that other woman or that other person, doesn't even have to be a woman, in Niagara Falls is another portion of you. When do the souls ever come back together so that you are the complete person? And this follow-on question is, why would a soul separate to go learn a lesson in Niagara Falls, in your case, and yet another lesson in Southern Michigan?
Souls like that are not that usual. There are some, they say that this is somewhat unusual for souls to be split, but they want to advance fast. In other words, the goal is to become whole. The goal is to balance all these different characteristics and experiences from lifetimes so that eventually you are fit to exist with the Creator. That is the whole point.
All right, so you're working towards existing with the Creator.
Right, right. Uniting with the Creator, with God, or whoever you want to call the force in the universe that that is responsible for everything.
All right. Now, Marie, then, do we get to choose the lives that we return to?
Yes, we do.
All right. So then is it possible, for instance, to have incredibly bad luck and to be born a Roman slave in one life, then a medieval serf in the next life, a black slave in the next life, and a German Jew in 1939? I mean, could you have that series of just bad luck being born into all of those lives?
That could happen, but you have some choice as to how you were born, to whom you were born, your personal characteristics, like your appearance, if you're attractive or not, your race, your religion, where you're going to live, of course, who you're going to be born to, your spouse, your children. All of these are choices that we make before we come into a life. And so you could choose all those different lives. I would suspect somebody who would choose all these difficult experiences might be a higher developed soul that wants to help other people in those situations.
All right, but
that can happen. You can come into a life, even though you're completely whole, you're with God, but you decide you want to help humanity, and so you just come in, and I think Jesus Christ is a good example.
All right, so Jesus Christ himself is reincarnated, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's come back to that in just a minute. But if it seems to me, if I could choose the life that I was going to come into, it, I'd always come back as a tall, strong, handsome man that'd be a charismatic leader of the world time and time again. Who would ever return to be somebody evil, say an Adolf Hitler or a Genghis Khan or a Napoleon? I mean, what lessons are there to be learned there?
I don't really think they intend to be evil.
Oh?
I think they might have tendencies, like they might be a very strong person. They might want to balance out their dominance that they've had over other people in other lives. And so they come in like that. They come in like they're very strong. Maybe they have a streak of evil in them even. But the environment is going to make a big difference. Like we talked about the case of Hitler the last time I was speaking with you, where I think he came in as a very strong, domineering type of personality, but it was the situation in the world that made him rise to the point he did, where he could do all the damage he did. If it hadn't been the hatred toward the Jews in Europe, chances are the Jews wouldn't have been exterminated.
All right.
So it was part of the culture, the environment in which the person incarnates into that makes the difference in the outcome of a given life.
Just a bad set of circumstances. Well, then let me follow on with this line of reasoning then, because you have been in the 11th, the 14th century, now the 20th century, and the 21st century. So my question is, why would anybody choose to be born into the 9th, 10th, or 11th centuries where things were pretty rotten unless you were a noble person? Life kind of sucked. The life expectancy was very short. The conditions that you lived under were horrific, but compared to today's standards, why wouldn't you be born into an upper-class nobility family living in a time of general peace? Why would you choose to go back to these harder situations?
You're trying to perfect your soul. It's not because you want to have a pleasant life. Sometimes a life that's very pleasant doesn't really help in securing your lessons that you need to learn. Sometimes when things are too easy, then you aren't challenged enough to develop maybe a closeness with God, because you really need that kind of connection. If you're very wealthy and everything's going just right, you might not have the motivation to look into yourself and to think of yourself as a spiritual person and pursue a life like that, because you don't seem to have the motivation. If you're just so comfortable, you get soft and really you lack motivation to do things that may try to help yourself. Whereas if you are in a very difficult situation, that's going to force you maybe to do things to help yourself and other people that you might not have had to do in a very comfortable situation in life.
I understand. My guest is Marie Gates, author of the book, Are We Our Past Lives? Marie, with all this knowledge of your past lives that you've had, in general, what does it mean to you? Do you have a sense of peace? Do you have a sense of better sense of right and wrong because of the past lives that you have led?
I have a great sense of peace, and I feel as if I may not have to come back into another life. It may be a choice that I would make because I wanted to help somebody. I have no fear of death whatsoever anymore. Before, when I was an agnostic, I really was afraid if I had an accident, would I just disappear? I mean, would I become nothing? Would there be nothing beyond this world? And now I know that's definitely not the case.
Well, that's got to give you some peace. My guest has been Marie Gates. We're talking about her book, Are We Our Past Lives? Soul Patterns in Personalities and Relationships. Marie, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Okay, I have a website. It's MarieGates.com. That's the simplest way to get there. But if you want to, you can also type in Are We Our Past Lives?
I'm going to go with the simple way. MarieGates.com is the best way to do
and
that.
I've got a good website with a lot of information. People can even download the first chapter if they want to. The preface and the introduction tell all about what the book's about. And I also even have pictures of my engagements, like bookstore signings. And when I met a Buddhist monk and presented my book to him, he's quite a well-known author. And so people can look at that if they wish.
All right.
Try to find more about me.
And that is great. My guest has been Marie Gates. Marie, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you very much.